right. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you all for being here. Again, my name is Russ Godbold. I'm a second-year master's student under Drs. Jeff Gore and Fred Musser. I actually just completed my second summer of research. I want to give a general background on the pest. The only pest I looked at was bollworm. It has multiple common names based on the crops that they are found in, but the scientific name is Helicoverpa zea. It's in the Noctuidae family. It undergoes complete metamorphosis, meaning that there is an egg, larval, pupal, and adult stage. There are multiple generations per year, and they're known to be a polyphagous species. Early populations can be found establishing themselves in plant species such as crimson clover and various wild hosts. But, you know, as the agricultural season kind of comes into play, you'll notice a shift of those populations moving into crops such as corn. Corn actually serves as the funnel crop for a large majority of bollworm populations. And then they move from corn to crops such as soybeans and cotton. So BT was introduced to help combat bollworm populations in cotton fields and also corn, just as another control measure to prevent damage. Bolgar 3 was introduced in 1996. It expressed the single Cry1AC protein, and it was used for the control of tobacco bollworm, pink bollworm, and they also found that it had some control capabilities for bollworm populations. However, under high population circumstances, it was shown that Bolgar didn't perform as expected, and that led to supplemental control with use of insecticides. So in 2003, Bolgar 2 was introduced. It used the same Cry1AC protein, but in addition to that, it used the Cry2AB. And this provided better control for our bollworm populations, and then also provided secondary control for various Lepidopteran pests. But in recent years, we've kind of had a spike in resistance to Bolgar 2 and other dual gene cottons. So in response to that, we're now having three gene cottons being incorporated. So Bolgar 3 is one of these cottons, and it was introduced for commercial production in 2018. It uses the same proteins that were found in Bolgar 2, but in addition to that, it incorporates VIP3A, and this helps provide better control for those cryo-resistant populations. But after BT was introduced, there were some experiments done just to kind of observe the effects that BT has on damage and damage prevention caused by bollworm larvae. So this is separating fruiting forms by squares and bowls, which is on the x-axis, and it's looking at the number of damaged fruiting forms per larvae. So it was found that when introducing BT, Bolgar and Bolgar 2, there was a reduction in square damage, which was a major benefit. However, whenever you look at the bowls damage on the right, that there really wasn't any benefit provided from the Bolgar in preventing damage to those bowls, and that was really the reason why it was phased out. But the addition of that Cry2AB to the Cry1AC did provide better control for boll damage. So more experiments were conducted just to kind of observe how larvae were acting on these BT technologies. The study on the left was a field experiment, and it was kind of comparing how larvae moved throughout the plant canopy in non-BT in comparison to Bolgar 2. So whenever eggs are laid in the upper third region of the canopy in non-BT, you know, there's nothing there to really combat larval feeding, so they feed on the surrounding tissues, feed on the squares, and move down the plant as they develop. However, it was observed whenever incorporating BT into the crop genetics that larvae were actually able to detect the BT expression in that upper region of the plant, which is the highest expression region. So they were able to detect that. They really didn't feed in the terminal. They really didn't feed on squares. They moved down the plant at a faster rate and moved into flowers and then fed on bowls. So the combination I need to mention this experiment on the right. So this was a bioassay that was conducted. It is just basically another version of this field experiment. So it incorporated purified BT toxins into diet discs, and there was also an untreated disc, and pretty much the results from that experiment showed that larvae were able to detect and avoid those concentrated toxins and seek out the untreated disc, and that was really the only ones that they would feed on. So the combination of different larval behavior in response to BT, along with variable expression in cotton plants, and then multiple crops expressing similar proteins, has led to the buildup of resistance as shown in this study. So this is looking at resistance ratios of multiple bollworm populations to Cry1AC and Cry2AB from the years 2016 to 2017. What's highlighted in yellow is they are the populations that are considered resistant. So in 2016, only two populations were found to be resistant to Cry1AC, but you look at 2017, all populations observed were resistant, and there was similar results to Cry2AB, which definitely becomes problematic. So just in response to all this resistance and potential changes in larval behavior and feeding, we wanted to determine levels of recovery in 2-gene and 3-gene cotton in comparison to non-BT. And then we also wanted to determine the amount of damage performed on a per larva basis. And we also wanted to kind of differentiate which fruiting forms they were preferring between non-BT Bollgard 2 and Bollgard 3. So my materials and methods for the experiment, we used three Delta Pine varieties. We used 1822, 1646, and 1835. These are non-BT, Bollgard 2, and Bollgard 3, respectively. We isolated individual plants, meaning that we clipped out all adjacent plants to prevent interplant movement of larvae. We infested each plant with one larvae, and these larvae were placed in first position white flowers. We made observations at 3, 7, 9, and 11 days after infestation to really look at how many larvae were able to recover between the three varieties, and also to see what they're feeding on. The experiment had 9 replications over the course of 2 years. We analyzed it using proglimics. Fixed effects for recovery and cumulative damage were variety, observation date, and the interaction between variety and observation date. However, bloom tag losses and damage comparisons by fruiting forms, the fixed effect is only variety, because it was only the data that was on one date. So why did we infest bloom tags? Well, okay, first off, a bloom tag is essentially a dried down flower, and the reason why the reason why we infested these is because bloom tags are a known overposition site, and also are known to be some of the lowest expressing regions of the plant. So that increases chances of larval survival, and then also it provides a food source for larvae to gain weight, and with the gain in weight, you could have a decrease in sensitivity to the BT toxins. So first off, I want to look at larval recovery. This is across all 4 observation dates, and it's looking at the percent recovery. So the recovery declined for all 3 varieties throughout the duration of the experiment. However, at 3 and 7 days after infestation, you can see some separation between those varieties, with Bollgard 3 being the lowest levels of recovery. But when you get out to that 9 and 11 days, there are other factors that start kind of contributing to that, such as fruiting form abscission, then also larvae just moving off to the plant because they're getting ready to pupate. So one of the main factors behind the difference at the 3-day observation was bloom tag loss. So this is looking at the percent bloom tag loss between the 3 varieties, non-BTs on your left, then you have Bollgard 2, and then Bollgard 3. Bollgard 3 did appear to have the highest levels of bloom tag losses, and we really don't know what the cause of that is. It could be varietal differences, but also it could be the fact that, you know, larvae are feeding in the non-BT and the Bollgard 2 more intensely, and that could be changing that microenvironment in there, along with maybe their frass production. Next, I want to look at cumulative damage. This is pretty much all fruiting forms combined, squares and bowls, and this is also looking across the 4 different observation dates, and it's on a per larvae basis. So at 3 days, there was really no differences in damage between the three varieties, but as you start to extend that observation period, you'll notice that you start getting separation, especially for the Bolgar 3. It separated at a faster rate. But then as you get to the 9 and 11 days, you start seeing some separation between a non-BT and Bolgar 2. So we wanted to separate that based on squares and bowls, which is represented on the x-axis, and it's looking on a per larvae basis. So when looking at squares, Bolgar 2 and Bolgar 3 both do provide some prevention in square loss caused by larval feeding. But whenever you look at the bowls, there's really no difference in damage between non-BT and Bolgar 2. Those larvae are pretty much able to feed on any bowl that they want. They're not very sensitive to that, and they're capable of feeding on several bowls. But the Bolgar 3, with the expression of VIP 3, did seem to perform better. So lastly, I kind of want to address the elephant in the room that's been here for the past few years, I guess, is just the performance of Bolgar 2. So I previously mentioned that study that was conducted in 2000, so I want to compare the performance of Bolgar 2 then to the performance of Bolgar 2 now. And, you know, I just mentioned that, you know, there is some differences in square damage. Well, if you look at, you know, these numbers, even though it's different now compared to non-BT, its prevention of square damage aspect is definitely not on the level it was in 2000. And then also, I mean, just looking at bowls, I mean, it's really no benefit in it. So in conclusion, tag losses within the first 3 days can help prevent damage to that site, but we really don't know where these larvae are going. I mean, there's been some research that's looked at numerous soil-dwelling predatory insects. That could be a factor. It could just be the larvae aren't crawling back up the plant. Damage between non-BT and Bolgar 2 differs primarily based on square damage. You know, the expression in bowls is, I guess, too low to really combat larvae. But Bolgar 3 did appear to have a better result in preventing damage to both squares and bowls. But since we were able to recover some larvae at that 3-day observation date, that kind of points to the potential that white flowers remain the weak point, you know, in the Bolgar 3 technology. And with that, I would like to thank all major professors, fellow graduate students, and summer workers for their help. I would also like to thank the USDA, Cotton Incorporated, and Mississippi State for funding and contributions, and I will take any questions at this time.